What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Hot Shots. I'm Jedi, and with me always is Houdini and Deepaw. What's poppin', boys?
What's going on, my guys?
What's good, fellas? How we doing?
Doing good so far. Super Bowl has concluded, so that's going to wrap up the NFL season for us until next season, obviously. But what's one takeaway just to start this off, or a memorable moment from this past 2024 season for you guys?
So for me, it's the whole Chiefs story. It started with week 8 at Denver. They lose 24-9. That drops them to 6-2. They beat Miami in a hard-fought game, and then they proceed to lose 4 of their next 6 games, including a dud against the Las Vegas Raiders in week 16. Mm-hmm. And that the questions start coming up. Is the receiver room good enough? The drop passes. Is Mahomes still as good as he is? The loss of Eric Bieniemy, is that an issue in the offensive side of the offensive side of the football? There were so many questions regarding that team. Then you have the X factor of all distractions, which is Travis Kelce starts banging Taylor Swift. Now you get the whole Swifty craze that comes into play. For the first time ever in the NFL, they have to deal with a pop star as large as Taylor Swift now infiltrating what has been known as the best team in football for the last 3 or 4 years. And holy shit, do they go on a run. They get to the playoffs, dude, and they knock off the Dolphins, the Bills, the Ravens, and then win the Super Bowl, obviously. It's just an unreal story. If there was like one of those things where you could just like, if Hard Knocks would have just followed them all year, that would have been the best content of all time.
That would have been pretty crazy to see that what the content machine would have turned out there, because that's a great point. Because I thought of all years, this was the year that you could get the Chiefs. I thought one of those other teams in the AFC was going to step up, or they just weren't going to win a Super Bowl, but they did it again, man. It truly was a hell of a run there.
Yeah, I wonder if they maybe decline Hard Knocks, some teams.
There are some like criteria to Hard Knocks. Like, you're not allowed to have a rookie coach. It's not allowed to have like a rookie quarterback, something like that. But they passed all the tests to be able to do
not
it.
Not make the playoffs, I think, is one of them too, or something.
Yeah. I think they had the ability to decline it just because they won the Super Bowl. But it just blows my mind. They blew teams out last year. This year, they just won ugly. And it was a defensive game for them. So to me, that was the takeaway of the year.
For me, I think it's gonna be the next crop of young quarterbacks stepping up. You got Jordan Love, even though he's been in the league a little bit. He had his first year starting this year. CJ Stroud absolutely balled out, far exceeded expectations, as did the entire Houston Texans organization. That rebuild happened real quick. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do next year. And then for me, I was hating on the dude this year, I'm not going to lie. Brock Purdy, he stepped up for me all year, and as well as in the playoffs. You know, he only threw one touchdown pass. He started off hot and kind of trailed off at the end in the Super Bowl. But I think him and Shanahan, I think that's going to fuel him even more. And I think the Niners are going to be on a run for a while. And, you know, he's got the whole Mr. Irrelevant storyline too. I was kind of clowning him for it, but I kind of dig it now, man. I kind of dig it.
It is crazy to see Mr. Irrelevant actually be relevant. Yeah, right. So not early yet. On.
And like legit the last pick, like Mr. Irrelevant, not even like a seventh rounder, the last guy.
Yeah, one heck of a story that's pretty cool. Mine is, I think this season gave us one of the coldest moments in NFL history. Aaron Rodgers running out of the tunnel to start the season, pumping everybody up, all the expectations all year. Hard Knocks was there for us, and then 10 minutes later, he tore his Achilles, which turned into the biggest meme in NFL history. You know, I can't tell you how cool that moment was of him walking out the tunnel.
Yes.
And then now the memes of just like every time you walk out of the tunnel, and the memes are crazy. It might be the meme of like the decade thus far.
Dude, honestly, I would argue that it's the coldest moment in sports history because it was on 9/11.
It was top five for sure. Like all time coldest moments in sports. That was so cool.
And Hard Knocks did it again, dude. They tricked me again. I was bought in, bro. Oh my God. I was like, dude, Salah's the man. Like, Rodgers is going to kill it.
What about maybe it's like the year after? Like, the Lions were on it 2 years ago, and then they stepped up this year. So maybe, you know, the Hard Knocks last year for the Jets, they had a bad year. The following year, maybe A-Rod actually brings it back. I like it, Jedi.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great pick. Like, I need to think about that. Well, I got to think about coldest moments in sports.
Coldest moments.
Like,
okay.
Like,
put
that
it on the
might,
let's do it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. That might be.
That's up there,
dude.
That's
I
up
think,
there.
I think it's definitely an NFL for sure. Hands down.
Like, if
I don't know,
like,
dude,
a Minnesota
George Bush throwing a perfect strike in Yankee Stadium is pretty
with
high
a bulletproof vest on, bro.
Yes.
Another 9/11
and getting told by Derek Jeter, don't bounce it seconds before you do
and
it.
Go to the mound. Oh,
didn't know that. I didn't know that.
So, I mean, like, you want to talk about just absolute cold moments.
Yeah,
like,
that's dope.
Dude, when he was running out, oh, my God. I was
let's do that soon. I like that.
I was like, I'm a Jets fan. And then he got hurt, and I was like, Jets suck.
Of course the Jets. Oh, man.
Well, that's going to conclude our talk for a while regarding football. But if anything big comes around during the offseason, any sort of big signs or tradings, or during the draft, of course, too, we'll definitely let you know. But for now, we're going to introduce one of our three favorite sports. Baseball season is upon us. Spring training is going to be starting. Pitchers and catchers, I believe, are reporting next week. And there is some pretty cool news coming out in the baseball world. Netflix and the Red Sox are partnering together and making their own version of Hard Knocks. Netflix is going to follow the Red Sox the entire 2024 MLB season. And this series will be released in 2025. They'll have all the exclusive access. And also, too, a documentary is coming out about their historic 2024 World Series championship run. So we're getting two things.
I like it, but I don't. I like
Neither
it
do I.
Because, yeah, like, I like it because it's the first time you're kind of brought into that baseball locker room for the first time. Mm-hmm. We had it with HBO with the Winter Classic a long time ago. That gave us awesome content into
that
hockey
was good.
Locker rooms.
Yeah, NHL, yeah.
Yeah, obviously you have Hard Knocks, which is the cream of the crop. You haven't really seen it in the NBA much, except like you get like the Last Dance, you get like the Redeem Team, so you do get behind the scenes stories. You haven't gotten it in baseball really, so this is scratching the surface. It's really good. Where I have a problem with it is it's a gamble. If the Red Sox go 60-102, which is very possible, I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah, they're probably going to be last in the AL East. That is the unfortunate part. You hit the nail on the head. Took the words right out of my mouth. It's going to be so cool to see, but for a bad ball club, just a little better of a ball club.
I think that people are going to tune into it because it's something that's not out there, and it's so awesome. And I'm so excited for it. But why the Boston Red Sox?
And I'll even give them this. And I'll do this because I feel like they got to have viewers the first season to renew it for a second. So I will watch it. I'll even if I don't like it after first episode or two, I'll watch it because I want to see a season two with a different ball club.
Yeah. And you know, doesn't make sense. It goes to the same thing we were talking about with Hard Knocks with football is that I wonder if they were their first choice. Like, did they ask the Dodgers with all that stuff with Ohtani, Yamamoto? Like, that's a story.
Yeah.
The Yankees are always going to bring in some sort of crowd. You have Judge there. Garrett Cole just won a Cy Young. They're always chasing a ring. Juan Soto's going to be there. And, you know, even the Orioles. Orioles have a young club. You know, they made Burns. Like, I mean, there's like exciting stuff happening there. And it just makes you wonder why they chose one of the least talented teams, maybe the least talented team outside like the Athletics. I mean, all they have is like Trevor Story.
Take the talent out of it. If they were releasing it every 2 weeks during the season, I would be much more engaged. So I hope that this is just the preliminary stuff. But I do think if they were the seventh option because they probably went big city first and the Dodgers said no, the Yanks, et cetera, and they landed on Boston, I get that. Like that makes sense. But the timeline of the whole thing to me doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, and one last thing I'll say too, Jedi, sorry, is Netflix has done a good job of this. Even though they haven't done baseball, they've done this with NASCAR. They've done this with tennis. They've done this with F1. They've done it with a lot of cool stuff. So I hope they continue that trend. And maybe they can, you know, because it's not released every 2 weeks, they can kind of filter out some of the, you know, the bullshit.
Yeah, two things. One, I forgot to mention, they do have Rafael Devers, but I feel like the highlight of the season is going to be maybe them trading one of their big stars, like Trevor Story, just out of there. I mean, I don't know if they'd get rid of Devers. That wouldn't make any sense. Yeah. I don't know if he got extended. He might have.
I think he did recently.
Yeah. I was going to say, there's been so much stuff going on that I kind of forget. But I do hope, or I wish, that it would be a thing that would be every 2 weeks, like something like a Hard Knocks like, because I don't like knowing the outcome of the season when it's going to be released in 2025. Like, it's kind of like, what's there to tell? You know, especially if they were like under 500, and to where it's like, are we just going to watch Lucas Giolito like play Fortnite? Like, I feel like that's all we're going to be doing. Like, his Twitch stream, like, what's going on? But it'll be interesting for sure to see. I hope Netflix does renew some of their NASCAR things. That was a really good series, the NASCAR one. But I don't think that they've been renewing a lot of the stuff that they, like the tennis one. I think, I don't know if it's like a one and done, but like, they should redo it because it's really good content.
Netflix's best stuff is the what was it, like the Malice in the Palace, Untold or whatever it is.
That's right, that was Netflix. That's
like,
right,
they did a Jake Paul one.
They did one on the New York, they did the New York gangster that bought his son a hockey team, which is the craziest shit I've ever seen in my life. I hope to see more of it.
Bobby Witt Jr. has been extended by the Kansas City Royals. I have some mixed feelings about this. I'm so happy for Kansas City Royals fans. They got the face of their franchise, and he's going to be there for a long time, if not literally the rest of his career. I believe right now the contract's done when he's about like 33, but it can go up to where he's like 36. So we'll see on that. But I have mixed feelings about it. If they continue to bring guys in and win, I love it. But if it's another Mike Trout situation where he's just going to sit there and rot, I hate it.
You have to do it. If you're them, you have no choice. He is the only thing that puts people in the seats. And there was a time, correct me on the year, 2015?
They won.
2015's Royals team was so homegrown and loved that I think he's the first piece to that puzzle of replicating that. They're one of the few teams that are going to build organically. And that makes those teams fun, but you need it with a superstar. It's a perfect move for them. Now, as for him, time will tell.
Yeah, if it's almost a win-win for both teams. They lock up their best prospect, or you know, best player, very, very long term. He gets financial security out of it, and even if that contract, when he ends 33, 34, he'll still be able to get a decent little contract afterwards. You know, maybe not breaking the bank, but he'll still have a couple years playing left. You know, if God forbid injuries, you know, don't happen, anything like that. So I kind of like it. And it's cool to see a small market team like Kansas City go in and all in on that, knowing that, hey, they're not going to be able to compete with all these top tier free agents. You got to build it from the draft like they did in 15.
Yeah, you know, they've been making some small moves too, bringing in some small guys. I believe Hunter Renfro's there now too. I mean, they're bringing in little pieces that are cheap, which I do like, because at least like they're trying to find pieces that they can afford. And they also have a new ballpark, it looks like, coming their way. The details on that dropped a few hours ago while we were filming this. So it looks like they're going to be leaving a Kauffman Stadium pretty soon. But this contract actually can be potentially one of the largest MLB contracts in history. Right now, it's 11 years, $288.8 million, but if all the options are accepted, it can be worth up to 14 years, $377.7 million, which would be the third largest contract ever given. But Bobby Witt does have opt-outs in his year 7, 8, and 9 with a full no trade clause.
Good for him, man. That's a hell of a deal by that agent.
The only area of concern I have is they're ranked 25th in their farm system. That's the only thing.
That's why you got that year 7 opt-out though. Still probably be able to hit a big contract too.
Yeah, he's my age. I think he's 22.
Jesus, that sucks for you.
30 free agent. Yeah.
What'd you say, Houdini?
That sucks for you, dude. I've been in those shoes. I know what that feels like. You like look up at the ceiling and you're like, what am I doing with my life?
This guy just signed a $300 million contract.
Yeah. Dude, no, I've been there. That's a tough reality check right there.
Yeah, but I mean, good for him though. Was this the right move? I mean, both of you nailed it. You have to do it. And I do think that he proved himself last season. He was an MVP runner in the end. Towards the end, he finished 7th place in the AL MVP voting. And he's the only player in MLB history to have 50 plus home runs and 75 plus stolen bases in their first 2 seasons.
Wow. Nice.
We were talking about this 2 weeks ago, and now Trevor Bauer is confirming what we said on this podcast. He was on a podcast with Theo Von, and he announced that he will take the league minimum just for a chance to play in the MLB again. And Jonathan Papelbon, the old pitcher for the Red Sox, the closer, over the weekend, he tweeted out and said that he believes everybody deserves a second chance, including Trevor Bauer, and called out the Red Sox to give him a shot and sign him. And if it doesn't work out, he offered to pay Trevor Bauer's league minimum contract, which would be about almost $600,000. And if it does work out, then the Red Sox have to pay Papelbon too.
So, yeah, I mean, it's getting to a point with Bauer where I actually feel bad for the guy. He's being blackballed for what I've said before is 10 times lighter than 100 times lighter than anything else that people that have gotten second chances in Major League Baseball. So I do think he deserves a shot. And the fact that you have guys willing to pay your league men, and on top of that, all the teams out there that could use a starting pitcher on the league men is insane. So I'm at this point, I'm hoping he gets a shot because I bet he comes in and shoves.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand where it's coming from. It's not like there's pending legal stuff going on. Like, I get the lengthy suspension that he received, but like, hasn't it been pretty much like decided or found out that the woman was extorting him? Like, I don't get mm-hmm. why he would be blackballed. You know, like, it's not like anything else is still ongoing. Like, I don't know. You're exactly right, Houdini. He would still come in and show.
It's such a strange situation. I mean, I think the Yankees should sign. I think any team should sign him. I'm with you, Houdini. Dude, I mean, obviously, I'm a little biased because I just think that it's almost like a free ace. Nobody remembers.
When he confirmed that his representation reached out to the Pirates, man, and they said unequivocally said no. Like, what is going on? If the Pirates aren't taking a flyer on you, then who that? Like, what are you going to go to Oakland?
Yeah, I bet he would.
He should.
Honestly, for the Pirates' sake or the Athletics' sake, that's a huge trade piece come the trade deadline.
That's what
it
I mean.
Sounds like
that's actually decent.
And I just don't understand it because the last time he was in the MLB, he won the Cy Young. I mean, he has to, like, you can't tell me that he's going to be like, you know, dog crap and just be like, you know, one of the worst pitchers in baseball. I bet you he's a top 30 pitcher in baseball right now. And that's a lot because pitching is a premium in today's game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're still talking about baseball here. This is some interesting news and very odd news that you don't hear about a lot. Billy Epler, the former GM for the New York Mets, was ruled ineligible for the 2024 season because he was found violating the rules for the injury list. So Epler was putting players on the injured list who actually weren't injured. That way he could finagle the active roster and call people up and down as he needed. What? I feel like this actually happens a lot more than you'd think.
I think he's the first one to get caught.
Correct.
Yes.
I was just going to say, I do think that Brian Cashman needs to be investigated because a lot of Yankees are always getting hurt. And I think that maybe there's something along the lines there, but they don't want to pay money because the Yankees are cheap now. I don't know.
It's not like they were good enough to even be doing anything. So good job, bud. You got caught. It's like Al Capone. After all the shit Al Capone did in his life, he gets thrown in jail for tax evasion? That's what this is.
Man.
Murder, extortion, racketeering, a whole nine yards. And he gets caught for tax evasion? This guy's done probably a million other things, and he gets banged for lying on injured players? I don't see the point to it. That's why the NHL's dope. He's out. Why? Lower body.
Next thing here, though, this is hilarious. Tommy brought this to my attention here. This is crazy to even think about it. But we do have another contestant for the clown show this week.
Clown show.
The Toronto Blue Jays made a highlight video to let everybody know that in their first level of seating, you will now get a cup holder. So if you're on the second and third deck, go screw yourself. You're not getting a cup holder.
Jesus. I mean,
I feel like you should have just got one or no. Like, is that, I feel like that just should come.
Yeah, is
with
this
the
a
seat.
Common thing? Yeah, is this a common thing? I feel like every decent venue I've been at has at least one cup holder.
Yeah.
At least.
All I'm going to say is they struck out on Ohtani, they struck out on Yamamoto. They're probably going to strike out on Bellinger. They struck out on Soler. So
Soto?
Soto, hey, here are cup holders. And like their video was like, you asked and we delivered. Like,
yeah, no shit. I'm tired of spilling my beer every single time I get one.
It's a stretch. And to be honest with you, I don't know why they weren't put in the first place.
You like, know what someone said? Stadium. Someone told me it might be a Canadian thing. Like they don't like, I don't know.
Aren't Canadians supposed to be like friendlier too? Like you'd think that's like pretty insincere thing to do, you know?
Dude, regardless, can we just talk about how shitty of a job that guy has? Imagine it being like one guy. He's just going to drill like 7,000 cup holders into a seat. I hate my life. You want to talk about hating your life and growing up and shit? No, dude, like you could one day look back and be like, ah, I'm the guy that drilled all those cup holders.
See all those cup holders?
I did that. He takes his son to a Blue Jays game. Like, hey, you see that? See what you just put your Slurpee in?
You better use it. I did that.
No, I think he's definitely in like the 300 level and he's like, see all those cup holders down there? I did all those.
Well, why are they up here, Dad? Shut up.
Daddy, where are
our
cup holders?
Jorge Soler has signed with the San Francisco Giants. If you recall, a few weeks ago, I said that he would be the perfect fit and not be costly for the San Francisco Giants, and it's exactly what happened, which is pretty cool. But there are still a lot of guys still left on the free agent market. We're talking about Cody Bellinger before. Cody Bellinger has not even received a contract this offseason.
Wow.
I don't understand why teams are so hesitant to sign him. Maybe because he's a streaky hitter. You know, he has one good year, one bad year. You know, we don't know. But, I mean, just for a few names out there, Tim Anderson, Cody Bellinger, Jordan Montgomery, Blake Snell, the list goes on of guys that are still out there. And spring training starts next week. So, we are going to try to predict where these guys will land. And let's keep it hot on Hot Shots right here. We're going to have 1 point for each person that gets it correct. We're going to be doing three guys, Cody Bellinger, Blake Snell, and Jordan Montgomery. First up on the board, Cody Bellinger. Who wants to go first? Where do you think Cody Bellinger will play in the 2024 MLB season?
The Houston Astros.
And a little bit of an explanation because I was surprised. I'm surprised with that.
Because why not? Because that, like, okay. It would be such an Astros move.
Fair enough.
I think he makes. I think he makes him better, I mean, especially you know, lefty hitting that ballpark is always dangerous.
The only thing I think is that he reminds me too much of Kyle Tucker. They have like Kyle Tuckers.
No, I agree. I'm just saying, like this is just such. It'd be such
that's a good
thing
guy. That's
like,
a good. That's a good guy to have another one of, though.
Here we go.
No, I like that. I'm going. I think I got to go with the favorite, which is the Cubs. I think he resigns with the Cubs on like a 1 year deal, like a flyer. Like if he hasn't even received a contract offer, that's not good, obviously. So something is scaring these ball clubs away. I think he goes back home to Chicago.
My choice is going to be the Chicago Cubs as well. I think Bellinger fits in there. He had a great season last year. I don't know if he'll take a 1 year flyer because I feel like he already did that and he'd be really hesitant to do it again, but maybe he doesn't have a choice.
Yeah, maybe he's looking for too many years or something.
Yeah, maybe it starts to be like maybe like a 2 year, 3 year deal, but it has player opt outs. I could see something like that happening, but I do think that he fits so well with the Cubs. He was a Cubs just like type of player, the personality there. I feel like he's like he can be the new Rizzo for Chicago. I feel like there if he decides to stay. Only time will tell there. Next one up on the board, Blake Snell.
The Toronto Blue Jays. They've struck out. Nice. They've struck out everywhere else. Now with their cup holders, go get yourself an ace.
I'm gonna go. This might be a little out of the box, but they just traded an ace. I'm gonna go with the Brewers.
Interesting.
I think they need it. The Central is winnable. I was torn between the Brewers or the Cardinals here. I think one of those teams makes a push for it. Because they had down-ish years, especially the Cardinals. Like, the Cardinals are used to running that division. So, I feel like they can make a splash. Could I maybe do a 50-50 where we're used to breaking the rules here? No, I think... Yeah, let me go... Let me go... No, I'll go Brewers. I'll go Brewers. Yeah, maybe win 0.5 points or something.
No after, go, after Jedi gives his, I want to know what your other thought was.
All right, I'll go Brew Crew.
All right, so my pick for Blake Snell, I think this is going to be a little bit of a wild card, but I think it makes a lot of sense. I think that he's going to wind up playing for the Seattle Mariners, mostly because they just traded away one of their big pitchers. I think that they need somebody like Blake Snell because it seems like they still want to compete. They still have a young J-Rod. Obviously, he's going to be there for a long time. They extended him, but they need him. And I think that he'll probably do something a little bit more club friendly because he's from the state of Washington and that's where he lives in the off season. So I think that it makes a lot of sense. However, I do think that he's going to sign for a lot less than the Yankees offered him. And mostly because I think a lot of teams are hesitant to give him big, big money because, like we've mentioned before, he is a little bit of a streaky pitcher. And I think the Mariners are going to get themselves a bargain because he's going to be a little bit more influenced because he's from Washington, So I don't know. That's where I think Blake Snell's going to land.
D-Paul, who's your other one?
Oh, the Cardinals.
Again, no points and for that shit if he signs with the Cardinals.
Have him sign tomorrow, bro.
And the last one up on the board for us, Jordan Montgomery. Just got done winning a World Series championship with the Texas Rangers. Where do you think he's going to go, Houdini?
They're gonna overpay for him, and I completely respect it, and I get it. It's going to be the Boston Red Sox.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That signing I don't think would make a lot of sense because they're clearly not competing this year.
No, but with the Netflix stuff, you need a little bit of a competitive season. They're going to overpay the shit out of him because they have to. If they don't land a starting pitcher this offseason, I'm telling you right now, this team's going to win 50 games.
Yeah, Chris Sale's already out of there.
So they're going to replace another lefty with a lefty. I think he signs with San Diego. I think that San Diego loses Snell. And I think as a poor man Snell, Jordan Montgomery signs there.
That's an interesting thing because obviously they want to save money. Maybe Snell's a little bit too expensive for them. So they go with a little bit of a cheaper option. Probably less years for Montgomery, if I had to guess. All right, my pick is going to be for the team that I'm honestly just like really excited to watch and I'm kind of rooting for. I think Jordan Montgomery is going to sign with the Baltimore Orioles. They have a new ownership. I think that the ownership's going to want to make another splash. They got Burns, but everybody keeps saying they need one more guy to like really solidify that rotation. And I think Jordan Montgomery would be an excellent number two right behind Corbin Burns. And they have a great bullpen. They have Cano, they have Bautista. I mean, I think that they have a nice little opportunity there too because the Orioles don't spend a lot of money. And I don't think Jordan Montgomery is going to cost, $250
million. Not going to break the bank.
Exactly. So I think that Jordan Montgomery will be a Baltimore Oriole.
Nice.
But obviously we will keep you up to date with that, where and when those players sign, hopefully soon with spring training starting. But before we get out of here, Houdini, what's your final thought?
My final thought is, now that like football's over, you are smack in the middle of pitchers and catchers are about to report. NBA is approaching the All-Star break. The trade deadline just passed. The NHL is in that final push. You're going to have that NHL trade deadline coming up soon. But you get to my 1-1 in our favorite sporting events, which is March Madness. And you're looking at like 7 to 8 games left for college basketball. And as of right now, to Joe Lunardi's bracketology, his one seeds are Houston, Arizona, Purdue, and UConn. Obviously, UConn won the national title last year. UConn has an absolute banger of a game. Both teams on Saturday, both teams coming in on a 6-game winning streak. Marquette and UConn on Saturday is going to be an absolute banger. But when I'm looking at this bracket, and I've watched a lot of college basketball this year, if there's any year to bet every single underdog, this is that year. I think it's one of those things that will probably be lucrative just based on the money lines. But if you were a betting person and you took the underdog in every single game, I think you end up making money this March based on the bracket and the parity that college basketball has. So there's nothing better for me than championship week of conference tournaments, heading right into Selection Sunday, straight into March Madness.
It is great.
I don't think there's anything better. So if you're a betting man, I would take every underdog this March, and I think you end up in the positive. That's
love
my
it.
Final thought.
Absolutely love it. Well, and I feel like March is better too. Whenever underdogs are hitting, and just it's absolute chaos.
Well, that's gonna do it for here at Hot Shots Podcast. Make sure to follow us on all socials at Hot Shots Podcast to hear all the biggest updates this March Madness, this MLB season that's going to be kicking off pretty soon. and for some cool rankings and drafts. Pretty soon, you heard before, we're going to be doing the coldest moments in sports history. You already saw a little bit of a preview there with Aaron Rodgers running out of the tunnel, George Bush doing his first pitch after the 9/11 attacks in the World Series in Yankee Stadium. That'll be exciting to hear. But until then, talk to you later.